Our Father God in heaven, oh Father God, how we thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy to us today. We stand here, Father, celebrating the life of Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father and intercede for us, and enter into our worship as we lift up that holy name in our hearts, with our voices, and capture the goodness of who you are in our minds. Oh God, as we look at your word today, I pray that you would open our eyes that we might see things we've not seen before, that our hearts would draw even closer to you than they were a moment ago, and that our feet would be swift to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and the wonders of God Almighty wherever we go. This is our prayer today, Father. Grant it, if you will. Our hearts are willing. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Be seated. If you have your Bibles, which I trust you do, you know you need them here. Turn with me, please, to the Psalms today. Psalm 42. Last week we finished up our study in the writings of John. And as we looked at those last week, we saw three questions that Jesus asked John. We saw three questions that Jesus asked Peter. He asked him, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" And Peter said, "Yes, Lord." And he asked him yet again, "Peter, do you love me more than all of these?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And yet again, "Peter, do you love me more than this?" Peter said, "Lord, you know all things. Yes, I love you." Three times Peter denied the Lord Jesus that night before he was crucified. Then Jesus met with Peter the afternoon after the resurrection. And now in public, among the other disciples, the seven there that were gathered on the Lake of Galilee, Jesus Christ reinstates Peter. And I wonder what Peter was going through emotionally during those days. It was 40 days from the resurrection until the ascension. We don't know exactly where John chapter 21 fits in the chronology of that. But I wonder where Jesus or where Peter was in his emotions. You've been there. You've not stood as strong for the Lord as you might have on one occasion or perhaps more. I want to look at Psalm 42 and 43 today and forget that it says 43. They're really one psalm. In many of the old Hebrew manuscripts, they in fact are one psalm. And they will take us on a journey. This week I asked Sheldon if we could sing "As the Deer." And so, unbeknownst to Sheldon, when he gathered the rest of the music, he fit just perfectly into what I wanted to try and communicate today, which the songs do a much better job of. But in Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, it says that it's to the choir master, and this is a maskil of the sons of Korah. This is one that's not written by David. It's written by one of the sons of Korah. And David appointed the sons of Korah, the Kohathites, to help lead the temple worship. Well, not the temple in David's day. It was built in Solomon's. But the tabernacle worship. The place where the saints gathered in Jerusalem, at the tabernacle, at the house of God. And so the Kohathites, these men, the Korathites, they would use their skills in making music and writing music to lead the congregation in worship. Well, it came about that during a season of war, some of them were carried captive north. And so these two psalms, which is one psalm, 42 and 3, are written by one of these sons of Korah as he is way up farther north than the Sea of Galilee, a long ways from Jerusalem. Now forget that you have a car or a pickup or a motorbike or even a bicycle with pedals. Suppose that you had to walk everywhere that you went. And some people came in and took you captive and forced you to march way to the north of the Sea of Galilee. How far are we talking, Rex, from Jerusalem? Well, over 100 miles. And you're not able to come to the gathering place where you worship regularly. As a matter of fact, you're one of the worship leaders. And now all you are doing is sitting up on this mountain, which we don't know where it is today, given the name of it. But it's north of the Sea of Galilee. And he's sitting up there against his will, unable to go back to Jerusalem to worship. And you know they had to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year for week-long celebrations. And you remember how David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, dancing before the Lord in such a fashion that even his legs were exposed and his wife was horrified. And he said, for the sake of God, I will become even more undignified, if you think that's what that type of worship is, where I dance before the Lord. And so this son of Korah, with the heartbeat of David listing in his breast, writes this psalm. I'm just going to read 42 and 3 without a break. Follow along. English Standard Version is what I've chosen today. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall praise Him again, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep, and the roar of your waterfalls, all your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And I will praise you with the lyre, O my God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Have you ever thirsted for God like that? Notice in verse 5, verse 11, and 43:5. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. For those who think not that the Scriptures are inspired, which is none of you, I would have you know that chapters 42 and 3 in the book of Psalms, as one psalm, has a structure. There are 3 stanzas. Each stanza is 4 verses long. Each one closes with that little refrain. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. At the first one, in chapter 42 and verse 5 and 6, I don't know who put verse 6 before my God, but they shouldn't have, because it interrupts the refrain. They didn't see the markings here. And so you have four verses and a refrain. And then in the middle stanza of the three, the verse in the middle of that is an extra one. And it takes the author away from his depression of being away from the worship assembly. And look what verse 8 says. By day the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Isn't that beautiful? In the midst of this person who is depressed way north of the Sea of Galilee, all alone and not able to participate in worship, does it break your heart when you can't come and worship with the saints? I can't wait till Sunday. I wish we had a service like this on Wednesday morning, where we could come together and gather and sing and worship and encourage one another and just hug on each other. Because it's hard for me to wait till Sunday. If I miss a Sunday, which very rarely I do, it seems like an eternity. You know, I was away this past week. I left Sunday afternoon and went to Leadville to spend some days with my mother and came back Friday afternoon. Sorry I missed helping you move, brother. But I understand you had help. I'll help you move back. But while I was gone, most of you didn't even know I was gone. You know what I missed most? When I'm in Leadville, my family comes and sometimes stays late at night, and I just go directly to bed. Here, while I'm here, my practice is before I go to bed to get on my knees and pray at the bedside for you, Diane, Gail, and Millie, for you, Wanda, and Bill, and Pamela. I pray for the two Bettys together all the time. I just lump them together. I pray for that whole back row, starting with Bill and John. I can tell where they sit because they sit where I pray for them. I missed that when I'm in Leadville and I don't take that opportunity. So even though you didn't know I was gone, I really missed you guys this week. I really did. That doesn't mean I didn't pray for you. I just didn't have my usual habit on my knees at the side of the bed. And I missed you. I hope you missed me. Even though you didn't know I was gone. Swing low, sweet chariot. Look at verse 3. Sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down. Is that this guy? And yet coming for to carry me home. But still my soul is heaven bound, coming for to carry me home. That's verse 8. In the midst of this two psalms, where this guy is bummed because he can't come to the worship service. He's saying, sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down, coming for to carry me home. Look, by day the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down. Wow, thank you, Sheldon. Look at what he says in chapter 43. Well, I'll have to find it here. Verse 3, 43:3. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. What did we just spend a year studying in the Gospel of John and the writings of John? Jesus Christ in chapter 1 is the what of the world? The light of the world. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And this guy, 1,000 years before Jesus was born, is begging God, please, Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. And then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. There is joy in the Lord. There is love in His Spirit. There is hope in the knowledge of Him. Is that true or not? All blessing and honor are His. All glory and power are His. Wow. There's a fountain I know every time I am near it. He talks about water in Psalm 42. He talks about that water. The flood. The water. The water of life. Well, back to our study. Verse 1, 42. As a deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. Does your soul long for God? All the time. When you're driving back Monday on that long drive, and as you get up Tuesday morning early to go to work, does your soul long for God? Does your, Sharon? Can you say with the psalmist, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longeth after God? You know, these little roebucks that they're talking about here, when they get chased by the enemy, might be a coyote or wolf or an archer. They get thirsty when they run like that. And when they come to a little wallow, they hit the skids and take a drink, a long drink. They're not talking about camels. They're talking about those who have to depend on lots of water every day to get by. And so as you are down walking around the arches of Moab in July and forgot to take your water. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. What kind of sustenance is that? So much that he doesn't even necessarily consider food. He's weeping because he can't join in the festival at the house of God in Jerusalem. I have known so many people in my life that feel like they're pressing it if they make it to church once a month. Or we all know some of those CEOs in church, you know, Christian and Eastern only. I don't know how. Because I long for this interaction with you. I long to come together and pray together. I love it when I'm up here and to listen to you pray. Oftentimes I wish more of you would. Is this okay? Some do, some don't. So what? I love to listen to you pray. I love to listen to the songs as they go up. I love to study and proclaim the Word of God. He says in verse 4, these things I remember as I pour out my soul. You know, I've talked to you often before about the construct of Hebrew. It doesn't have what we would call a future test. Hebrew has a completed and an uncompleted tense. Guess what this is written in? Verse 4. It's interpreted in all of our English Bibles as though it's a past tense. Because he says, this is what I remember. These things I remember as I pour out my soul. And then we have a little colon there to tell us what he remembers. Well, when we understand the word remember, we think past tense, don't we? I don't remember anything from tomorrow. What a ridiculous statement. That's how this is written. These things I remember. Thank you, Matt. Use some vinegar in there, please. These things I remember. So it's translated in English in a past tense, but he's writing it in an incomplete, uncomplete, unfinished tense, which ordinarily we translate as the future. So what he's doing is he's remembering these events, but he's really looking forward to when he can do it again. That's the sense here. I can't wait to do these things again in verse 4. How I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God. Remember the song of ascents that they would sing from the Psalms as they're going up to either the tabernacle or especially the temple? And maybe this gentleman is living in Solomon's era where the temple stands. And he would be one of the leaders as they were going up to the temple, shouting and singing those Psalms that we call the songs of ascent. I would remember that, and I can't wait to do it again. With loud shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. That's interesting, isn't it? There is one word in the Hebrew that is translated keeping festival. There's a multitude-keeping festival. Keeping festival is one word. It's composed of two separate root words. And this is what it means. Dancing, circle. What he's saying here is I remember with great joy and I can't wait again to lead them in procession with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude dancing in circles as we go to festival. Isn't that amazing? Sing a song of celebration, lift up a shout of praise, for the bridegroom will come, the glorious one. And oh, we'll look on his face, we'll go to a much better place. And what's the chorus? We will dance on the streets that are golden, the glorious bride and the great Son of Man. From every tongue and tribe and nation will join in the song of the Lamb. We will dance. This is what this man is craving. He doesn't just to walk solemnly up the steps to the temple. No. He wants to be like the Music Man. Remember the movie? I have that album for you, Sheldon, in the truck. Remind me. He wants to be leading that great procession as they go up to the temple, and as they're going, you've seen the movies of how the Jews love to dance in their circles and jump and go round and round and round. This is what he's talking about with that one word. To dance in circles as we go up to the temple. Wow. And then what? And then what? With glad shouts and songs of praise. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Is that how you sing it? That's how we're going to sing it. Shouting and praising the Lord. Right? That's what I can't wait. And then he says in verse 7, deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All of your breakers and your waves have gone over me. Deep calls to deep. There's some kind of communion between this saint of the Most High God. That even though he's in a depressing place and can't experience the worship of the host of heaven, yet there's a cascading of water that comes over him. Not like they're having in Houston. water of life, the Spirit of God. Deep calls to deep. As we understand the Spirit of God as He interacts in our hearts. And it's that calling of the deep to the deep that reminds us of verse 1. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. Right? Well, by day the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Even though He's surrounded by the enemy on every side, and they seek to thwart Him and they mock Him, where is your God? They say all the day long in verse 10, where is your God? He still ends up with this verse 11, why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Let me ask you a question. Are your emotions in control of you, or are you in control of them? Do you make your emotions answer to the Word of God, or do you answer to them? When you get down in the dumps, do you wallow there? Or do you lift out like He says here? Notice what He's doing here. And this is behooving all Christians to sit up and take notice. He asks Himself, why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. My chains are gone, I've been set free. Is that a hallelujah chorus or not? Wow. Well, we're going to do something a little bit different today. Yeehaw. I told Sheldon last night, and he said, oh, thank the Lord, something's going to happen that's not in the bulletin. As if we had one. Who said that? I'm going to ask Brother Matt if he will come up and lead us in our closing prayer. But don't you go away. I want you to ask to stand for prayer. Matt's going to lead us in the closing prayer. And then after prayer, we're going to start the song service over again with We Will Dance. And I want us to sing it as though we are way north of the Sea of Galilee and can't come back to worship with the people of God and how we thirst and hunger after Him. Thank you, Matt.
Oh God, we have tasted Your goodness, and it has both satisfied us and made us thirsty for more. We are painfully conscientious of our need and further grace. We are ashamed of our lack of desire, O God, the Triune God. We want Thee. We long to be filled with longing. We thirst to be made more thirsty still. Show us Your glory, we pray Thee, so that we may know Thee indeed. Begin in mercy a new work of love within us. Say to our souls, raise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Then give us grace to rise and follow Thee up from this misty lowland where we have wandered so long. In Jesus' name we pray.
Rosemary?